concerned, he is simply a subordinate personality. He is subordinate to him. And in the purport, Prabhupada is explaining that that is the way a devotee should always think. An intelligent person should always think. He should not take the proprietor, he should not claim his proprietorship, nor should he consider himself to be the enjoyer. Rather, one should try to recognize that the Lord is the supreme proprietor and he is the supreme enjoyer. The universe has been created for whose pleasure? Brahma is addressing, it's for the sake of the Lord's pleasure. And his pleasure is not ordinary, mundane pleasure. His pleasure is transcendental pleasure. And that pleasure is enjoyed by the Lord through his internal potency. Atma Shaktiya, by his internal potency. And Prabhupada is explaining that that internal potency is Rama or Lakshmi Devi or Srimati Radharani. The Lord doesn't have to enjoy anything in this material nature. Krishna doesn't need anything material for his enjoyment, like us. We need so many material things for our enjoyment. But that is not the case with the Lord. He simply enjoys in his internal situation through the potent agency of Lakshmi Devi. And those who are surrendered to him, they are very dear to him. Those living entities who surrender themselves unto the Supreme Lord, the Lord is very pleased with him. The Lord is always the benefactor of the surrendered souls. Those who are surrendered to the Lord, He is very pleased with them, and He always takes care of them, and He always cares for their welfare and benefit. And that is the situation of Brahma. Brahma is speaking about his situation. Previously, in the previous verse, Brahma mentioned that I am also one of the surrendered souls who are dear to the Lord. Why the Lord has given him this assignment? It's a very, very important assignment to create this material universe. So Brahma is addressing why he has been assigned with that responsibility. Because he is a surrendered soul. So the Lord chooses those who are surrendered to him to execute the important jobs, important missions. And that's a natural thing. Like when there is an important thing to do, who do we assign that responsibility with? Those who we have confidence in. So similarly, the Lord has confidence in whom? Those who are surrendered to him. Those who are not surrendered to him, why should he have confidence in them? Or how can he have confidence in them? Like you give a big responsibility to somebody. And along with that, in order to do the job, you have to give him lots of facilities. Like you give him a lot of money. Like say you have to build something. You have to build a palace. Now, to build the palace you need... It needs a lot of money. So the person who is given the assignment, you give him the money. Now if the person is not trustworthy, will you give him the money? Because then he can take the money and run away. So who do you give the responsibility in this way? You give the responsibility to somebody who is trustworthy. And not only he may not even run away, but you may given him the money, if you may have given the responsibility, but if the person is sleeping all the time, then will the job get done? So who will you give the responsibility? A person who is trustworthy. And who is trustworthy? Who is surrendered to you. Who loves you. And who is simply concerned about your benefit. So that is what Brahma is actually pointing out. That you have given me, you give the response. Brahma is not saying that you gave me the responsibility. He is saying you give that responsibility to those. And since you have given me the responsibility, I can conclude that you must be favorable to me, or you must be considering me to be dear to you. That's why you gave me such an important responsibility. And when you give such responsibility to a surrendered soul, you take care of them as well. You provide them with all the responsibilities, with all the facilities. It's natural, again, like when an important person gives an assignment to somebody, then he gives all the facilities. Like, I know somebody who had who came to India from America to set up a big project. And the company that he was representing, I could see that the facilities they were giving him first class arrangement, anything that he needed, everything came, and not just for himself, like for the project. He had all the facilities. And it's natural, because unless and until he has the facility, how will he execute the job? To establish a plant, he needs money, he needs man, he needs... So, they are all supplying. Another example can be given. When American government sends an ambassador to India, do they just send the ambassador and say, you do everything? Or American government makes all the arrangements, creates an embassy, sends all kinds of people to assist him, gives him all the money, sends even soldiers. And if you go to American embassy, you'll see that in American embassy, even the water comes from America. Those days, the bottles that you turn upside down and the water comes from the tap, they were not available in India. But if you went to American embassy, you would find that all those, not bislery, not Indian stuff, the American stuff, then even the bottle of water used to come from America. So that is how the government actually supports the representative. Now, if an ordinary nation provides such facilities to their representative, what to speak of the representative of the Supreme Personality of Godhead? So he provides all the facilities from the spiritual sky for him. Isn't it natural? So that is what Brahma is actually saying, and Brahma is pointing out that in order to win your favor, one must surrender himself unto you. And when one surrenders unto himself, when one surrenders himself unto you, then what happens? You take care of him in all respects. You provide him with whatever he needs, as it is happening with me. I don't have to worry about anything. You are providing. Before you sent me, you have created the universe. You already created the universe. It's not that I had to come and do everything. And I know that now that you have sent me, you will provide me with everything that is necessary for creating this secondary creation of the universe. And you are doing it to me because you are very, very favorably disposed to those who are surrendered to you. You are favorably disposed to the surrendered souls. And I am fortunate that somehow or other I have surrendered myself unto you. And a person who is surrendered, he never takes credit for anything. That is the meaning of being surrendered. When you want to take credit, that means we are not surrendered. I have done this. But a surrendered soul, how will you think? Somehow I got this opportunity to do this job. But he, my master, has provided me with all the facilities. Like as I was talking about that person from America, came to India to set up a big project for a big company. Now he'll naturally think that I'm simply an employee. He's not thinking that I'm the creator of this project. I'm an employee. The company sent me here, the ticket for to come to India was given by the company. When I came, people were there to receive me. They took me to the hotel. That hotel was also booked by the company. Then I started the project. All the money came from the company. And that is how I have been able to do it. Or if he thinks that, well, I have done this, so I am the enjoyer, then what will happen? Then what will happen? Immediately the company will kick him out. He said, you rascal, you think you are the proprietor, get lost. So that's what happens in the material nature also, in a bigger sense. The moment we think that we are the proprietor, then Krishna kicks us out and says, okay, now you are on your own, do it, let's see. And we try to enjoy, what do we get when we try to enjoy? When we try to enjoy, we get the sufferings inflicted by Maya. Oh, you want to enjoy? So Maya just keeps on beating us time again and again. Whereas the surrendered soul, he becomes dear to Krishna. I am also one of those surrendered souls who are dear to the Lord. Brahma is recognizing that. So the intelligent thing to do is to become surrendered. Therefore, to be a devotee, one has to have the highest level of intelligence. The most intelligent people can become devotees. Less intelligent people cannot become devotees. Because less intelligent people, being bewildered by the illusory energy of the Lord and being situated in a mode of ignorance. Being situated in a mode of ignorance, they do not know what is there, what to do. Or they are in a mode of passion. Oh, I am the doer. And his false ego becomes inflated. And the more one becomes affected by his false ego, the more he becomes subjected to the sufferings of the material nature. So what is the sign of intelligence? Sign of intelligence is to recognize who is the proprietor and surrender unto him. Who is the supreme proprietor? The supreme personality of Godhead. Now here also another factor comes in, that is not just surrender to the supreme personality of Godhead. To be surrendered to his agents also, his devotees also. So Kanishtha Adhikari is surrendered only to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But when he recognizes the devotees and surrenders to the devotees, then he comes to the platform of Madhyam Adhikari. So more advanced devotees recognize the devotees of the Lord and surrender to the devotees also. So these are all levels of intelligence actually. Less intelligent people will surrender to the Lord. But more intelligent people will surrender to the Lord as well as to his representatives. And who are the representatives of the Lord in this material nature? His devotees. We may say that I am surrendered to the Lord, but how do I show that I am surrendered to the Lord? Can I directly see the Lord? Can I hear what he is saying? Can I receive his instructions directly from him? No. So how am I going to receive his instructions? The way to receive his instructions is through his devotees. Therefore Krishna is saying, Those who say that they are surrendered to me, they are not surrendered to me. Those who are surrendered to my devotees, they are actually surrendered to me. I accept them as my devotees. Those who say that they are my devotees, I do not consider them to be my devotees. But those who are my devotees' devotees, I recognize them as my devotees. So it's ultimately a matter of common sense. Common sense means intelligence. It's common sense. If somebody says that he's surrendered, then he must practically demonstrate that surrender. And that surrender will be practical. Through the practical demonstration, we will recognize the surrender. So, in the purport, Prabhupada has very clearly pointed out, Brahma, who is only an assistant in the modes of creation, wanted to remain in his actual position as an instrument of the Lord, instead of becoming puffed up by the false prestige of thinking himself the creator. Brahma could think that he is a creator. Brahma could very well think, but Brahma didn't, because he is situated in knowledge. Similarly, Lord Shiva never considers himself to be the Supreme Lord. He recognizes that Krishna is the Supreme Lord. But less intelligent followers of these people, they develop all kinds of misconceptions. I am a follower of Brahma. Brahma and Vishnu is the same. I am a follower of Shiva. Shiva and Vishnu is the same. But let us hear what Brahma himself has to say. Let us hear what Lord Shiva has to say. It is not that we are saying. It is what Lord Shiva is saying. It is what Lord Brahma is saying. And our business is to follow that. But at the same time, although Lord Shiva is saying that King Karoshmi or Dashoshmi, but we don't minimize Lord Shiva's position. We recognize his exalted position and worship him. Vaishnavanam jatha sambhu, as the greatest of the Vaishnavas. We worship him. So this is the difference. The devotees of the Lord will worship Brahma, will worship Shiva. What to speak of worshipping Brahma? Brahma is our original guru. He is our Sampradaya Acharya. Our line is coming from Lord Brahma. So where is the question of minimizing Lord Brahma's position? He is our Param Guru. He is our Sampradaya Acharya. We belong to the sampradaya that has been started by Lord Brahma. Lord Shiva, we worship him with all respect. But the worshippers of Shiva may not worship Krishna or Vishnu. That is the difference. We are prepared to worship Shiva. We don't have any problem. Rather, we feel happy to go to Mahakal temple and worship. How, when we worship, how do we see him? As the greatest of Vaishnavas. If we want to win the favor of Vishnu, what do we have to do? We have to worship Lord Shiva. If we don't worship Lord Shiva, we'll be in trouble. That means we are disregarding a great devotee of the Lord. How the Lord will feel in that case. We don't only worship Krishna in our temple. We are not worshippers of Radha, Madan, Mohan. We are worshipping Lord Shiva. We are worshipping Brahma. We are worshipping Durga. We are worshipping Kali. But they are not the main object of worship. When we encounter them, we offer obeisances. But who is the main object of our worship? Is Krishna. And in the light of Krishna, we see others. Kshiram yatha dadhi vikara vishesha yogat. Who is Lord Shiva? That in order to execute a very specific mission, Krishna has transformed himself. Jasambhutam api samupaiti karjad govindamadi purusham. Govinda has assumed, has transformed himself into Lord Shiva. So just as we worship Nrisingadev, knowing that Lord has assumed the form of Nrisingadev in order to kill Hiranyakashipu and protect Prahlad, to execute a specific mission, he assumed that form. We know that in order to execute a specific mission, he has assumed the form of Lord Shiva. So we are seeing Krishna in Lord Shiva. Similarly, Durga, who is Durga? The Maya hi jasya jagadanda satani sute traiguna tadvishaya veda vitayamana sattavalambi parasatya vishuddha sattvam govindam adipurushnam tamahanvaya. Who is Durga? Durga is his external energy. Jagadanda satani sute. In order to produce innumerable universes, jagadandas. And she is endowed with traiguna tadvishaya veda vitayamana. She is endowed with the three modes of material nature. And who is he? Daivi hesha gunamai mama maya duratta. My maya, Krishna's maya. So in this way, we have a clear picture. Who is who? And accordingly, we deal with them. And who is Vaishnav? A Vaishnav is prepared to offer obeisances even to an ant. That is how humble a Vaishnav is. So what to speak of these exalted personalities? Will a Vaishnav be ever disrespectful to them? No, never. They'll worship them with the greatest reverence, greatest respect. So that is a Vaishnav, and that is the position of a surrendered soul, and that is why they are so dear to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, does anybody have any question? Yes.
First question is from Guru Varanga Guru. In relationships, reciprocation is important. First point, how does a surrendered devotee recognize the Lord's reciprocation? Is it direct or indirect? That is, through the other devotees, or it can it be direct from the Lord?
Yeah. See, the reciprocation can be both, but initially, when the direct communication or the direct perception is not established, then it will be indirect. Like, for example, we can see the reciprocation when the rains come. What do we see? There is a scarcity, like in Ujjain now there is scarcity of water. Everyone is saying, where is water, water, where is water? So when the rain comes, how does he see that? He sees that it is the mercy of the Lord. The Lord is offering his mercy upon me. I needed water, he gave me water. Similarly, when you are eating the food, we can see the mercy of the Lord, that he has sent me the food and that's why I can eat it. Krishna bada dayamai kori bade jiva jai sab prasad anna dilo bhai. Krishna is very merciful, and in order to maintain me, he has given me this food. Or we can see we can go even further. We can see that I'm breathing, I need oxygen, and we can see that without oxygen we cannot live, we cannot survive. But we are taking oxygen and giving out carbon dioxide. And we may get into anxiety that, what will happen if the carbon dioxide is if oxygen is exhausted? I won't have any oxygen to breathe. But then we think that, Krishna has taken care of it. Krishna has created these trees and plants, and Krishna has given, made the arrangement for the trees and plants to convert carbon dioxide to oxygen. So this is how the Lord is being merciful to us. So this is how we can see His mercy indirectly at every step. I'm sitting here, but look at my condition actually. The earth is moving at a tremendous speed, and I'm sitting here peacefully. Nothing is happening to me. Why? Actually, what should have happened in that condition? What should have happened? Long before, I should have been somewhere else, thrown out in the space. But I am sitting here comfortably without any difficulty. Why? Because the Lord has made the arrangement that this movement of the earth is not going to affect me through His gravitational energy. So these are the indirect way of perceiving the Lord's mercy. But then of course, when you become more advanced, then you begin to see how the Lord is reciprocating from the heart. Sometimes we are in difficulty, the Lord says from the heart, don't worry. I'll take care of it. Don't worry. There's nothing to be in anxiety. And then we become even more advanced and we go back to Godhead. There we see the direct reciprocation. Krishna says, let's see what you have in your plate. Oh, it looks so nice. Please give it to me. And Krishna takes that from me and I say, then you say rather, that, oh Krishna, what is that in your plate? Krishna, want to have it? Come take it. Krishna gives it to you from his plate. So this is how Krishna directly reciprocates. Krishna sees you and says, oh my friend, I'm so happy to see you, and Krishna embraces you. This is how Krishna directly reciprocates. So there will be different levels of reciprocation or perception of reciprocation according to our spiritual advancement.
Next question is from Mukund Dasguru. Did Lord Brahma create the living entities, souls, or Lord Krishna?
Living entities, the jivas, came from the spiritual sky. They all are Krishna's parts and parcels. But the bodies are given by Brahma. The atmas are not created by Brahma. Atmas came from the spiritual sky. But the bodies have been given by... Brahma started that process of awarding the bodies. And then the arrangement has been made through different processes. Then ultimately now, how do we get the bodies? We get the body through the father and mother. Brahma is not creating these bodies directly. These bodies are coming through the agency of the father and mother. But the original bodies came, like the first four persons are four Kumars. Their bodies were given by Brahma. Then came the nine Prajapatis and Narad. Their bodies were given by Brahma. And in this way, then Brahma started, the Prajapatis, they had their children. And through their children came other offsprings. So this is the initial creation of the body started by Brahma. But ultimately we have to understand these bodies are given by the material nature.
Last question is from Rishikesh Prabhu. Guruvan, how we can approach the Lord through Lord Shiva? Do we need to chant Lord Shiva mantra?
You simply chant Hare Krishna and Lord Shiva will say, good boy.
Lord Shiva is the form of Krishna, but we never offer Tulsi to Lord Shiva.
Yeah, because Lord Shiva is not Vishnu Tattva. Tulsis are offered only to Vishnu Tattvas. Lord Shiva is Shiva Tattva. It's not Vishnu Tattva.
But how is it? He is the form of Krishna, so he's not Vishnu Tattva?
Yeah, because he's not Krishna himself. Krishna transformed himself. Ja sambhutam api tatha samupaiti karjat. in order to deal with the material nature, which Krishna couldn't do himself. Vishnu couldn't do himself. Because material nature is the external energy. Material nature is the external energy. So the Supreme Personality of Godhead, material nature is the Supreme Personality of Godhead's external energy. So he cannot deal with the external energy, because if he deals directly with the external energy, then that will become internal energy. Then it will not remain as external energy. So that is why the Lord cannot directly deal with the material nature, Maya or Mahamaya. So in order to deal with the material nature or external energy or Mahamaya, he transforms himself into Lord Shiva. And through the agency of Lord Shiva, he deals with the material nature. Not directly, indirectly. Or through the agency. Okay, another way to give that example is, you see, sometimes to do something, you put on a gloves. Right? You cannot do it with your bare hand. So you put on the gloves. It's the hand, but it's not really your hand. Right? It's a hand with the gloves. Right? So Lord Shiva is something like that. Vishnu with the gloves to deal with the material nature. Okay, any other question from this side? Yes?
In course of previous lectures, which I have been mentioned, that Krishna is not an incarnation. Krishna is not an incarnation.
Who is not an incarnation? Okay, Krishna is not an incarnation. Yeah.
He is outside. It needs some explanation.
Yeah. You see, the original Supreme Personality of Godhead is Krishna. He is Bhagavan, Swayam Bhagavan. And his expansions are known as avatar or incarnation. The Lord himself and his expansions. So who is the original personality? The Lord himself. And when he expands, then that is called avatar or incarnation. Like, for example, Brahma Samhita is giving an explanation to that question. He's saying that just as the first lamp lights many other lamps, Deeparchireva dasantaram abhupetya, just as an original lamp lights many other lamps, and when the lamps are lit, they all have the same amount of light. All the lamps are giving out the same amount of light. So there is no difference between the first lamp and the last lamp. Because they are giving out, energy-wise, the same amount of light they are giving out. So similarly, the Supreme Personality of Godhead expands himself, and all those expansions are non-different from him. It has the same potency, is the same personality. But still, the original lamp is the original lamp that lit the other lamps. And in this way, there are six types of avatars. All the avatars will fall in these six categories. One is Purushavatar. Purushavatars are Shirodakshay, Karanodakshay Vishnu, Garbhodakshay Vishnu, and Shirodakshay Vishnu. Then Gunavatar. Brahma, Vishnu, and Maheshwar. These are the three Gunavatars. And then Leelavatars. The Lord is performing different Leelas, pastimes. Ram, Nrisimha, Varaha, Kurma, Vamana. These are the Leela Avatars. Then Yugavatars. He appears in different Yugas to establish the Yuga Dharmas. In Satya Yuga, he is Sweta. In Treta Yuga, he is Rakta. In Dwapar Yuga, he is Krishna. And in Kali Yuga, he is Gauranga. So these are the four Gunavatars. Then there are Manvantara avatars. In every Manvantara, in the every reign of Manu, the Lord appears. So that is called Manvantara avatar. And then there are Shaktavesh avatars. There are empowered incarnations. Different personalities, different jivas are empowered by the Lord. Like Parashuram, Prithu, Narad, these are Vasudev, they are the empowered incarnations, the Shaktavesh avatars. Okay, so these are the six categories of avatars. So that is the thing about, wonderful aspect of the Vedic literatures. Everything has been explained. No, not just some speculation or imagination. Everything is scientifically explained. Like, I'll give you an example. So many people talk about mukti. They give big lectures about mukti. But you can ask them, can you please tell me how many types of muktis are there? They don't know. But if you approach the Vedic scriptures, if they studied Vedic scriptures properly, they'll know how many types of muktis are there. There are five types of muktis. They're talking about mukti. They're saying goal of life is mukti and everything. You go to these people, they're all talking about mukti, mukti, mukti. But how many types of muktis are there? They don't know. But you come here, you'll understand how many types of muktis are there. And not only how many types of muktis, then you will also find out which is a real mukti, positive mukti, and which is a negative mukti. Negative mukti is not mukti, and that's the mukti they are talking about. That is a bigger imprisonment. That's not mukti.
After knowing, he will say, I will not go for
mukti. Exactly. That's why the devotees, they don't care for mukti because they have already achieved mukti.
One question from Rishikesh Prabhu. So if external energy is used in the service of Lord, does it become internal energy?
If external energy is a yes. If matter is engaged in the service of Krishna, then it is spiritualized. Like your body is made of matter, you engage it in Krishna's service, it will be spiritualized. Alright? Yes, Rishikesh. Rishikena Rishikesha Sevanam Bhakti Vichyate. Hare Krishna, Gaur Premanande Hare. Srila Prabhupada Ki.